Well, you know, I always ask God what he wants to say to all of us, because it's not just me speaking to you, it's God speaking to us. And I kind of start out where it's like, okay, Lord, what's the direction for the year? You know, what's the theme? What are things going to be built around? Turn to Hebrews 12, please. I'm going to read this passage, the first three verses out of the Passion Translation. And then I'm going to tell you what he said when I wanted to know what we should focus on. Hebrews 12, first three verses, Passion Translation. As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound, say let go of every wound, that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressure. Now, when I said, God, what do I focus? What's the goal? What is it we want to be mindful of? This is what he said to me. Tick-tock. The clock is moving. The return of Christ is close. Tick-tock. We're running out of time. There's still work to be done. The fields are white, but the laborers are few. Tick-tock. Too many hands off the plow. Too much looking back and looking at, and not enough looking to. Tick-tock. Get into all the world and preach the gospel. Get into all the world and preach the gospel. Let my love be evident in you. Let my love be evident in you. Let my strength be manifested in you. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. The clock is moving. What about you? God is letting us know that it's time for us to just be about his business. It's time for us to be about his business. And now when God gives me something, I take all of it in. But sometimes, you know, a part of it jumps out at you. And even though everything he said is important, there's one part that seems to stick with you. And the one part that jumped out at me is this: too many hands off the plow. Too much looking back and looking at, and not enough looking to. Well, I'm not saying this. I don't want anybody, don't feel bad. Don't, oh God, I missed it. That's not what this is about. God didn't say too many people looking back with their hands on the plow. Because the scripture tells us in Luke 9, why don't you go there, I want you to see it. This is after, you know, someone told Jesus, I'll come and follow you, but first, you know, let me go bury the dead. Let me do this. Let me do, you know, there are other things I got to get to that are a little more important, and I can go and work with you, Jesus. But Jesus said unto him, no man, listen carefully to what he said, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He didn't say every man putting his hands to the takes his hand off the plow and looks back is not fit. He said, if you're holding on to the plow and looking back, you're not fit. That's not what we have here. The word said too many hands off the plow. Well, Pastor, what's the difference? This is the difference, folks. When you have the plow and you're supposed to be going this way and you're looking that way, you're longing for what you think you're leaving. When you take your hand off the plow and look back, you're confused. What is going on? I don't know what's happening. And you wind up looking at a circumstance. The plow's here. You can grab it. But because something happened, you're like, what in the world is going on? You know what you're supposed to do, but you don't understand why all this is happening. The Holy Ghost said to me that too many have taken their hands off the plow, too much looking at what? At circumstances. And not enough looking to who? To Jesus. Not enough. God wants us to get back to the place where we have our hands on the plow, we're looking to Jesus, and we're moving forward. Or what's better is we're moving down the path, down the course that he has laid out. It's important because you may be going to the side and you think, oh, I'm only supposed to go forward. But remember, he said, too many hands off. Too many people were shocked, were stunned, were confused, don't know what's happening, got wrapped up in other things that appeared to be important, or at least important to them. That's why in Romans 12, in the Message Bible, it says, don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Why? Because it could cause you to take your hands off and start looking at instead of looking to. Everyone say, I shouldn't be looking at. I should be looking to. Now, we don't want to go through the motions. But we have to stop allowing circumstances to overwhelm us to the place where we take our hands off the plow and start looking at what's happening, what's going on. And you may be wondering, I said this to someone recently, they were wondering, why is all of this seem to keep happening to me? I said, because it works. That's why. See, we've demonstrated that distractions distract us. We've demonstrated that when the devil does something in a grand scale, we stop and start wondering, did God really mean what he said? Yes, he meant what he said. As we learned, as Pastor Enrique shared last week, the thief cometh. Jesus said, I have come. The thief may be coming to your neighborhood, but Jesus is already in your neighborhood. Jesus said, you think about what he said. For this reason was the Son of Man manifested, to undo, one translation says, to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Now, in order for you to undo something, it already has to be done. In order to destroy, it already has to be established. So why are we getting upset when the devil does or the devil establishes when we have the same authority that Jesus had to undo and destroy? That's part of what we're doing when we have our hands on the plow, doing what we're doing. We're undoing the works of the devil. Yeah. We're destroying the... There's an effect from everything that happens. The devil comes with the circumstances. We get caught up in the effect and how it affects us. Well, Jesus came to undo all of that so that even though the devil comes with stuff, it don't affect us like it affects those that don't have Christ. And we have to know that. The reason we take our hand off the plow is we've allowed what the devil does to affect us and cause us to question, am I where I'm supposed to be? God told me where I need to go. But when I go to my bank account, I can't see how I'm supposed to get there. Or somebody will say something that's hurtful. Or I should say that's intended to be hurtful. And we allow it to hurt. What do you mean we allow it to hurt, Pat? Yeah, we allow it to hurt. Let me tell you something. I've told you stories about my mom, Miss Ruby. Well, I didn't call her Miss Ruby. I called her Mommy. Sometimes in my mind, I wanted to call her something else, but I wanted to live. But I was accused of something, and to this day, I haven't let this principle go. I still have a hard time being accused of something that I didn't do. If I did it, I did it. But if I didn't do it, I'm ready to go to the death because I didn't do it. And I was accused of eating the last slice of cherry pie. You like cherry pie? Well, the house rule was you didn't eat the last of anything without checking with Mommy first. That's all. My older sister Jan ate the pie. And when Mommy said, who ate the pie? The words out of my sister's mouth was, Greg. And now I had a reputation for liking pie to this day. But then Mommy asked me a question that's really unfair. She said, did you eat the pie? I said, no. I didn't. Then she said, so you're calling me a liar. Where do you go with that? I said, I'm saying I didn't eat the pie. I didn't do it. And she said, I'm going to ask you one more time. If not, you go to the mulberry tree and get a switch. I said, I might as well go because I didn't eat it. And I tried to bring in the whole tree. I did. I pulled the big, I didn't get a switch. I got like a limb. I kid you not. I'm like, I don't care. And I pulled all the leaves off it and came in and put it down in front of her. And she looked at me and said, oh, you think you're tough now, huh? Because I was about 14 then. I said, nope, just innocent. That's all, just innocent. And she hit me with the switch, knocked me off my feet. I got back up. I felt the tear coming. I said, get right back up in my eye. You will not cry. And I just stood there, expressionless. Said, I refuse to cry. I did nothing wrong. I'm not giving the satisfaction of tears. I'm not telling you that to get you to think, boy, your mother was mean. I'm telling you that I decided I don't care how much pain was going to be inflicted on me, I was not going to give it the satisfaction of my tears because I have done nothing wrong. You have done nothing wrong. Just because the devil's upset because you're doing God's work, as Pastor Sarah says, toughy the mouse on him. you don't let what he does affect you in the least. In the least. Because you can. Say, how do you know you can? Well, I'll show you. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Jesus. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must, listen to this. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Who has to let it go? You know what that says, folks? The only way the wound can stay is if you hold it in place. The only way you can really be hurt is if you take that hurt and say, yep, you're staying there. But you have to let it go. Why? It says, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. And I saw a correlation there. We hold on to the wound and sin comes as a result. Sin comes in. James, would you help me for a minute? I want to show you something. I'll tell you, thanks to my wife, because I was telling her what I was thinking. And I was thinking something else, and she said, thought board. And then I couldn't find one. I'm like, well, I'll do something else. She went out and got one. Would you just hold this? Turn and face the camera, please. Just back up just a little bit. Okay, let me guide. I'm not going to say let me lead. You'll think we're dancing. Okay. This represents a wound. Right? Wound is coming, and it hits him. And what is he doing? He's holding on to it. If he were to let it go, just let it go, it would just drop away. But a wound came, he grabbed it, and he held on to it. Now he's carrying this wound around. And everywhere he's going, what's showing first? The wound. And then sin comes. Sticks to the wound. Now you have arrows piercing you. And no matter what you're doing, no matter where you go, they keep coming because you keep holding on to it. And this weight starts to get heavy because you keep latching on, letting all this stuff latch on to you. Think about what Jesus said. He said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. He said, there's nothing in me that belongs to him. So when the thief comes, when the enemy comes, he's looking for something to grab onto, and he's looking for a wound. Now, that wound, we're not just talking about, you know, you scrape your arm or you cut your finger and you have a wound. Someone could have said something negative about him. Maybe he lost his job. Maybe there's sickness racking his body. Maybe he thought that, you know, he'd be healed by now, and the symptoms still exist. Whatever the reason, maybe he's fed up with everything that's going on social media. And he starts thinking about, people that persecuted him because of his color. Whatever the wound is, you have to choose to hold on to it, and then other stuff can attach itself. And even if you get rid of that stuff, you're still holding the wound, so more stuff can just come. No matter what it is, you have to let it go. And then when stuff comes, there's nothing in him. We'll try, okay, that one's yellow. We'll try a different kind of stuff. No matter what you do, it's not, I get a sneak attack. It won't, because he's not held on to the wound that pierced. Thank you. Give him a hand, please. Give Deacon Phyllis a hand for helping me. She found it. Yeah, yay. Thank you. That's the way we want to leave all of the enemy stuff. On the floor, because when it's on the floor, guess where it is? It's under my feet. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you've lost your job. Doesn't matter that a loved one died. Yes, you're going to miss. You don't have to hold on to that wound, because something else will come. What will come? I prayed about this, and I told God that I wanted them to stay here, and he let them die anyway. Let go of the plow. Why did this happen? And someone comes to you and says, well, you know, the secret things belong to God. I don't want to hear that. That's not giving me comfort. My prayers are supposed to be answered. What about the prayers of the other person? We don't know what, do we know what their prayers were? Could be several loved ones that have died. That's it. You have their health concerns. We have to let go of wounds, and the Bible says specifically wounds that pierce, because they're even more painful. And the only way they can stay is if we wrap ourselves around them and refuse to let them go. Refuse. As long as we allow the wound, we allow something for sin to latch onto. If we want to get rid of the sin, we have to let go of the wound, and the sin goes along with it. And as we demonstrated, sin can't latch on to something that's not there. I need to just show you this. Then I need to come. I have to use the same philosophy I just told you. Okay, what am I supposed to say now? Okay. Hebrews 12:2, Message Bible. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish line with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. So you want a formula? One translation says, oh, for the joy that was set before him. Why do you have joy? Because of something that's set before you. You believe it. He had the joy set before him was that he knew we were going to be his. How did he know that? God said so, and he believes it. See, that's why sometimes I come and say, how are you? How's everybody? And you say, blessed. And I say, how do you know? You say, because God said so. And I go, and? I believe. The word says so, and I believe it. So there should be joy. If the word says so, and you believe it, there should be joy. And if you have the joy, you can endure. Because the word did not say you will receive it unless. If God said it, it's so. And you can have joy because it's placed, and you can endure. Now, James 5, I believe, tells us something, because the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross. And it's important to understand that the Bible does not say the cross went away. The cross stayed. Jesus stayed on that cross. He had to endure it. James says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. One of the synonyms for resist is endure. See, we let go of the plow. One of the reasons we let go of the plow is because we think when we say, in the name of Jesus, such and such and such and such, that the devil's supposed to just, oh, I'm out of here, and that's it. And it doesn't happen that way. The Bible says resist. If the Bible said speak the word only and the devil will run, he wouldn't have to tell us to resist. You resist because something does not leave. You resist because something's not going anywhere. You resist because this thing is going to stay in your face. It's going to keep picking and picking and picking and picking. And you have to resist it. You have to act like it's not even there. And after a while, it will get tired and leave. And leave in a hurry. Because now he's thinking, if they can resist me, maybe they can hurt me. And they leave. But we have to get out of the mindset that our prayers are like an incantation. And as soon as we say it, a genie's going to puff out and wipe out whatever the situation is. Sometimes things might happen instantly. But the joy isn't in that. The joy is no. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, what we ask, and he knows, we know that we have the petitions that we ask for. And therein lies our peace. Therein lies our comfort. Therein, that causes us to use the same arms that are holding the wound to open up and let the wound drop down with all the sin that's associated with it, because we choose to believe God. And we have joy. When you have that kind of joy, humiliation means nothing to you. So people are going to mock you. They mock Jesus. But the last thing you want to do, because the Bible says he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. We have to remain seated. We can't get up and leave just because trouble comes. We have to stay in place. We have to stay on the job no matter what happens. When the pandemic hit, Pastor Ed and I stayed on the job. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we couldn't have all of you here. Thank you, Lord. But I haven't read any scripture that said you can only preach the word if there are people present. So we took use of the talent that God already placed in the congregation and technology. And we stayed on the job. Because when God called us, he knew there was going to be a pandemic. He knew there was going to be racial unrest. He knew there were going to be social. He knew all of those things. And he called us where he called us anyway. God is not sadistic. He did that because he knew we would do what we were supposed to do. Oh, there's so much more that I want to get done. I don't have the time during this service. Last thing I'll tell you, I think the last thing I'll tell you is this. Your Passion Translation Hebrews 12, 1, in that passage, verses 1 to 3. I guess this is toward the end of verse 1. It says, so we must let go of every wound that had pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then, after we've let go of the wounds and all the sins, then we can run life's marathon race. We miss that because the other translation, run the race. We think it's a 60-yard dash. So it's over in like 4.5 seconds. No, it's a marathon. And marathon doesn't just mean long. Marathon means sometimes you're sprinting. Sometimes you're jogging. Sometimes you may be walking. Sometimes you're going uphill. Sometimes you're going up mountains. Some are 26 miles. Some are 5 miles. Some are 100 miles. Some take 6 years. Some take 73 years. Some take 94 years. Whatever your marathon is, you are to run it with patience. And you can only run it with patience after you've let go of the wounds that pierced and the sin associated with them. And you remember that your joy is dependent on you believing the word. And once you believe the word, you don't care what you go through because you know that what God said is what's going to happen, period. And you, when you do that, you start feeling very good about yourself and you go back to the plow and you put both hands back on the plow and you start moving. You just start moving. Hallelujah. That's all I have time for this morning. I apologize. I have more, but I don't have time. We need to do communion. We need to have communion. But you understand. You understand. We have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and leads us forward into faith perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, so you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. And we thank you now that this word rings in our spirits and we'll remember to let go of the wounds that have pierced us so that we can run our marathon successfully. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the Holy Ghost to give us continued revelation throughout the year of everything we've heard this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? If there is a need, you just raise your hand. I don't see anyone here. If there's anyone online, just stay with us just for a moment. Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So let's make this confession. Let's confess with our mouth. God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. So Jesus, I turn to you and I tell you, I believe you are who the Bible says you are. I believe you went to the cross and died for my sins. I believe you were buried in my place. And after 3 days in hell, I believe you were raised from the dead. So I'm asking you, come into my heart. I turn from my past ways and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friends, as I said before, you've confessed with your mouth. You believed it in your heart. You're born again. Please use the contact information that's on the screen and say, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg, and now I'm born again. We will send you some free information. And if you have any questions about anything that we've shared this morning, use the same contact information and contact me. I may not get back to you the same day, but I will get back to you.